Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Rob Gronkowski said your first call should be to Josh McDaniels.
I'm going to look at every possible candidate that I feel like can help us. And we're going to start that process today, this afternoon, and visit with some great coaches. And then we'll see where things go. And
is
that's
on
all three
is
phases.
He on the list?
It's a long list.
Yeah,
there's a long list. And I've had a relationship with Josh, and I've had relationships with other offensive coaches and defensive coaches that we're going to interview and want to bring in here.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement from Mike Vrabel.
No.
On Josh McDaniels this morning.
Did not seem like it. Now, sometimes that could be you don't want to like overplay your hand and you want to say that it's like a process.
Sure.
Like it can be hard to read into, but just based on what it sounded like, sort of the pause and then sort of throwing him in there with a bunch of other guys. It's tricky and things like this, trying to read between the lines. Plus, you know, we're not as familiar with Vrabel's interviews yet. You know what I mean? Like in a year from now, we might have a better tell on what Vrabel says.
Yeah, like reading between the lines might be easier to do.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I still feel like that was certainly a maybe. Like if you had to boil it down to one word, like McDaniels, maybe.
Well, and we're just guessing because you're right. We don't have a ton of information on how Mike Vrabel conducts himself in these settings, right? We're just getting to learn him here. And it's the final hour, Jones and Keefe. On WEEI, you got WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. You can listen live on the Odyssey app. We'll still get your grab bag and clip du jour and everything else. My read on it is Vrabel probably knows Kraft wants McDaniels, which makes sense. I mean, Kraft knows Josh McDaniels. He doesn't know Tommy Rees.
I mean, Kraft wanted Mayo and then Vrabel, so who do you think Kraft wants?
Right, and yeah. So that doesn't make Kraft like a bad guy or anything that he wants Josh McDaniels. He knows Josh McDaniels.
No.
He probably looks at it and goes, he's been a good offensive coordinator. Maybe he's not head coach material, but the Krafts like him. And so if the Krafts, they're not going to force Mike Vrabel to hire him. I mean, maybe they will. But if I'm reading how Vrabel is answering it, and it's just a guess, Vrabel is answering it to be respectful for Josh McDaniels, but also I don't think he wants to hire him. So he goes, well, yeah. I mean, I have a relationship with Josh, which is what Curran highlighted. Not a good relationship, not a great relationship. I have a relationship with Josh. And Greg asks him directly, is he on the list? He goes, well, yeah, but it's a long list. And so I think that's a way of, I'm going to take the interview with Josh McDaniels. I know him. I know Kraft likes him. I'm going to take the interview, but I have my guys, and McDaniels probably isn't one. And I think, as much as I dislike all the Wolf stuff that Vrabel's brought up, that I found promising because I don't want Josh McDaniels.
If Robert Kraft is truthful to his word, his press conference after they fired Jerod Mayo, and they were talking about the next guy, remember he was kind of all over the place when it came to Elliot Wolf's role, but what he did say pretty clearly was the next head coach will pick his coaches. The players was a much more gray area.
Yeah.
But he said straight up, like, he's going to pick his coaching staff. And then he said something like, have a big say in the players or whatever. And I don't know. It seems like it's trending that way. Because we know, like, at that moment, he knew it was going to be Vrabel. He didn't say. They're actually kind of lucky he probably didn't say. Because they still had to play out the process.
They're probably real nervous about it when the guy was like, that's the word.
That's the word.
Mike Vrabel's
the
guy.
No, yeah, well, there are other guys.
Yeah.
We'll talk about those guys. We'll tweet out those guys. But, no, that's, I guess, how I would view that is Kraft can suggest McDaniels and bring up all these points about how, you know, good he is to work with and all this other stuff. And Vrabel's like, yeah, I know who he is, but I like this guy, and I think he would win that. Because you can't bring Vrabel in, and then the first thing you do before you even get to the draft is don't let him pick his coordinators.
Yeah.
I think he's getting his guys.
I think it's far more likely they'd meddle on personnel than on the coaching staff. I think they're going to make suggestions because, of course, they're like, hey, why don't you take an interview with Josh?
Especially if it's the money is the same.
Yeah.
It might even be less.
Yeah.
If he brings in a guy that has less experience than Josh, they could probably save a few bucks. He'd love it.
That's true. So, man, I don't like how the text line is saying, could you be less unimaginative or less imaginative rather than Josh McDaniels?
No, that is pretty just, so, all right, who worked here before?
And I would highlight it this way. Is Josh McDaniels interviewing anywhere else? Is Josh McDaniels going to get another offensive coordinator job? My answer is no.
Not that I know of.
So, and we'll find out. I mean, if he gets one, then I'm wrong. I don't think he's ever going to be a head coach again. But in the NFL, I don't think he's going to get a job. He might not get an interview. Like, he's available. You don't have to wait for him the same way you didn't have to wait for Vrabel. You could interview him the same way Bill wasn't under contract. And you could have interviewed Bill. So you could interview Josh McDaniels right now if you're any team out there. Has he taken an interview? Not to my knowledge.
I do not believe so, no.
Is anybody going to give him a job? My guess is no. So if I'm Vrabel, I don't want to be forced into that because I think he's toxic. I think he's viewed as toxic. I mean, I don't know him, but I think he's viewed as toxic. So here are the names that Reese put out for offensive coordinators, and my guess is this is something approximating their shortlist.
All right, what do you got?
He's got Tommy Reese, who we've mentioned a ton.
Yeah, so he's the...
He was the Browns pass game coordinator and tight ends coach. He has... he was a college quarterback at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He was Alabama's offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach prior to getting the job last year in Cleveland. Him and Vrabel overlapped while Vrabel was an analyst last year in Cleveland.
I know they didn't have a ton to work with, but that's the worst offense in football.
Would not be bending over to go grab people from that offense.
No.
Okay? So Tommy Reese is the name. Tim Kelly, he's the Giants tight ends coach. Terrible offense this year as well.
Mark Bavaro's coach? Who was their tight end? Who the hell they even have this year?
Theo Johnson before he got hurt.
Theo Johnson and Daniel Bellinger.
There you go.
I mean,
you could tell who's in a
real household.
You could tell who's in a dynasty league.
Who owned Theo Johnson?
Yeah, that's a deep league dynasty owner right there. Tim Kelly was the play caller in Tennessee, I think, Vrabel's final year. He was with Vrabel while Vrabel was a coordinator with the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
That's a name that's come up. Josh McDaniels, who we all know. And then one that I find intriguing. He might not be ready to be a coordinator, for all I know. But this name I find intriguing. Dave Ragone, Rams quarterbacks coach. So he would take a promotion to be an OC. He worked for Vrabel in Tennessee, 18-20. Where he was on staff there underneath Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, college quarterback at Louisville, and he was with Sean McVay this past year. Like, that to me is the most interesting name on the list, but I'd expect one of those four to get the job.
I am most intrigued by the last name like you are, and when you say coached with Sean McVay, I still think that holds a lot of weight. These offensive guys, specifically, if they coach with Sean McVay. Sean McVay, by the way, in the divisional round once again with the win last night, so I think that one intrigues me more than anything else. I mean, hell, even Nick Cayley's on that staff now. So if you want to talk about something that maybe bridges both worlds, a guy that Robert Kraft's familiar with, a guy that, you know, was in New England for a while but also branched out and coached under Sean McVay.
And Cayley already told him to go screw last year, right? He wanted more money. They wouldn't give it to him. That's because Bill screwed him over and hired Patricia and Judge in
his
place.
Who knows? Maybe that bridge is burned.
Maybe that's a poisoned well. I find it noteworthy, too. Reese didn't suggest the name Josh McCown. That's
so
not
here's the one thing, and Kern brought this up, and I think we've brought this up in the past. If you bring in one of the positives to Josh McDaniels, who is not my favorite either, is if you sign him to a 5-year deal, even if Drake May is the MVP of the league next year, my guess is Josh McDaniels is here for all 5 years. Whereas if you bring in Dave Ragone, and he lights it up, and Drake May has this monster year, like Patrick Mahomes year two, like just kills it, somebody's probably plucking him. Now, okay, you got Drake May. Like, he's so good. Like, you got what you wanted out of him. But then you're going to have your sixth offensive coordinator in 6 years. I'm not saying that's the reason not to hire a guy that hasn't had the experience
but it's
yet.
Something to consider.
There is the thought that, you know, a young gun guy especially working with Drake May, they'll say, well, this is what we need. This is what we need. And then if they want to, they become a head coach in a year or two. I mean, Bobby Slowick didn't leave, but even after 1 year.
And Ben Johnson didn't leave after
Ben Johnson didn't leave. That's true.
Year in Detroit.
Now, he could. Slowick maybe could. Now, Slowick didn't have as good of a year this year, but after 1 year and C.J. Stroud being the MVP, Slowick at least took a bunch of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that part of it. I don't think that should be the reason why you don't do it. You just want to have the best team and the best everything, like, and go from there. And you assume you have Vrabel here for a while. He's worked with multiple offensive coordinators in his past, whether it was Matt LaFleur or Arthur Smith or Tim Kelly. Like, he's already done that. He's experienced that. It's not like he's relying on the same guys all the time.
So to me, it's something to consider, that you don't want to lose a guy in a year. I mean, I agree with that. I'd rather keep him for a couple of years. But the main reason to hire your OC is because no one else wants him and he won't go anywhere?
Yeah, no, like, that shouldn't be the only thing.
That's not a good reason to me. Now, one thing I will say, and this is being pointed out on the text line,
yes,
it's inconsistent to say we need experience, we need guys who have done it, Mike Vrabel over Ben Johnson, for instance. That's why they valued Mike Vrabel. And then turn around and bring in a first-time OC. So, like in
well,
other
so
words...
so this is what I would say.
Like,
I,
Tommy Rees
I get
or
the point.
Ragone?
Yeah.
Like, that would be inconsistent because you put all this premium on experience and now you're hiring an inexperienced coordinator. It's different than a head coach.
So yes, it is. But how I would view it is, last year when you had Gerard Mayo, he needed experienced coordinators. Didn't give them to him. Now you have an experienced head coach. The experienced coordinators aren't as important to me because you have a guy that's going to run the whole operation. So you can now develop really good coordinators under Mike Vrabel. I think they're going to have a good guy to lean on. Whereas last year, you didn't have any real coaching leadership, and then that trickled down to the players, and you didn't have any real player leadership. So you can you don't need three 20-year vet coaches or three rookie coaches. Like, you probably want some sort of combination.
Some sort of blend.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's fair. I just think that is... I mean, I'd lean into the unknown versus the known of Tim Kelly or Josh McDaniels, but it does feel a little inconsistent to put a premium on experience and then hire Tommy Rees, who's in his 30s and has never done it as a coordinator. That does feel a touch inconsistent. When it comes to Mike Vrabel and his impact this year, where do you think the Patriots feel the biggest impact in year one?
Probably just, like, the nonsense. I feel like just having a better grip of everything, whether it's hopefully less penalties, right? The offensive line was just like a turnstile. Like, I don't know how to quantify it. I don't know what stat it would be, but just like a more professional team. Like, there were times this year where we would talk about them on Monday and it would trickle into like off-field stuff and some of the, you know, locker room media availability when players would put their foot in their mouth and players would say dumb stuff. But just even on the field, there were times you're like, oh my God, like this is a pro football team. It didn't feel like it for much of the year. I think, because they're not going to be able to all of a sudden get 53 amazing players, but I think they'll at least get guys that look like, you know, they're on an NFL team.
I also think it's going to be consistent. Maybe we're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mayo, it felt like some weeks we didn't really know if he was going to be aggressive or conservative. Are you going to go for two? Are you going to go for it on fourth down? Like, I think very early on, and I think Vrabel's going to skew conservative.
Yeah,
he will be consistent, and I think you'll go in, and the players will know. All right, it's fourth and two. We're probably not going for it, even on the plus side of the field. And we're down 8. We're down 14, rather, 15, whatever the situation was against Jacksonville. We're probably not going to go for two there. And I think you're going to learn some of that with Vrabel early, and I think it'll be consistent. I think he'll be consistent in sending messages to the players. He's not going to come out and say, and I don't know really how many coaches would do this, so how much of a win is it really for him, we're going to bench Ramondre Stevenson, and then Ramondre Stevenson starts. I think it's going to be...
Yeah, you won't have that stuff.
It's going to be consistent messaging. It's going to be consistent, I think, from a scheme standpoint. It's going to be consistent from aggressive versus conservative. I think you're going to get that, and I do think the organization needs that. Now, a rookie head coach could give you consistency. Ben Johnson may have been able to give you consistency. I think with Vrabel, you can expect it. And I think you'll get that impact right away in year one. Curran brought up the comment when we talked to him last hour. We got to be good enough to take advantage of bad football.
There's a lot of bad football.
They were
a big part of it last year, the team was.
That is telling.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we shouldn't be losing to the Tennessees of the world. We should be able to take advantage of Mason Rudolph and the Tennessee Titans in bad football. We should be able to do that. Can we even do that? And if they can, maybe some of the one-score losses turn into one-score wins, and you turn your season around.
Yeah, and nobody's saying you go from 2-6 in one score losses to 6-2. Like, that'd be pretty jarring flip. But if you start squeezing a couple more of those games out, like, I kind of fully expect them to be close to 500 next year. I do. That's even before they've added talent, which I feel like they have to do. You know, they have the fourth pick in the draft. I don't know how much money they're going to spend, but I feel like they're going to have to spend some of it. But just having a much more buttoned up operation and, you know, hopefully 17 games of Drake May instead of 12 games or whatever it ended up being. Like, I think that all helps.
Yeah. I mean, the concern is, does he get himself
hurt? Does he
get
through? Yeah, no, I know. That's a valid question.
And does he get himself hurt? Again, the offensive line did not get Drake May hurt last year. When May left two games, the Jets game and then the Chargers game, which he returned in, he got himself hurt.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so, you know, that would be my fear. But I don't think they're going to get him killed out there like a lot of people feared last year.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Kelly is in Amherst. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, yeah, just a reminder, I was the tanking guy, and so my synopsis on the season is it went good. Fourth pick is pretty good, and that's, you know, second round, third round, fourth round. We're picking at the top of those rounds. We're talking about coaches here, who to bring in. You guys know better than me, but I'm going to say I don't really feel like I want Josh McDaniels. I feel like that would kind of be like you're trying to go backwards, like you're trying to recapture the past. You know, Tom Brady is not walking through that door. And I will say I like the idea of getting a guy who's going to stick around. You don't want a guy who might leave in a year or two. I like that idea. But, Keith, if you are really worried about Drake May turning into Patrick Mahomes, I think you said, don't be worried. That's not going to happen.
All right, well, that may not happen. But also, I'll take the coordinator for 1 or 2 years, and then he becomes a hot commodity. But the reason he's a hot commodity is because he's turned Drake May into a top five quarterback.
Well, but
so then I'll take my chances with him being good with the next guy.
Yeah, and I think a good analogy is Buffalo. Not only because Drake May, a really, really, really high-end comp for Drake May is Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. But it's a defensive coach, and they have kind of burned through coordinators, right? Are they on their third coordinator with Josh Allen? Is it four?
I think it's at least three, because Dayball sort of developed them.
Dorsey.
And then now Joe Brady.
Brady.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to be on to another one. And maybe there was one early in his career. Was Dayball his first coordinator? I don't remember.
Dayball, I think, was.
Okay,
yeah.
So fine. So he's going to be on to his fourth, I'd imagine, if Brady gets a job. And it's at least three. Yeah, I mean, then if Drake May turns into what we think he can turn into, then a really talented quarterback can weather the storm. Now, they had to blow out Dorsey because he wasn't good at it, and Allen's numbers suffered to a degree, but I'm less fearful of that. I'm not going to ignore it. It's something to consider, but I'm less fearful of that. If in another year, because your offense was so good, you have to turn around and hire another offensive coordinator, which I think is a misnomer.
Yeah, so be it. Right.
I think, again, it's a misnomer. Ben Johnson has been in Detroit now for 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it's been, as the
play
OC.
Caller for 3 years.
Okay, so 3 years.
Yeah.
That's the best play caller in the sport.
Yeah.
He didn't leave after 1 year.
No, he did ask for like $20 million or something.
Okay.
But yeah.
But maybe that's what your guy will do. Like, I don't know. So
are you going to give it to him?
You brought up Bobby Slowik.
Yeah.
So those are guys who they were really hot commodities and they came back. So I think, one, it's a misnomer, and two, it's not a huge concern of mine.
No, it shouldn't be the reason.
Ideally, you have Drake May and the same offensive coordinator for the rest of his career, and they're really good, and they never go anywhere. That's not how it works. Usually you get stuck with a guy who sucks. 617-779-7937. You could jump in on all our thoughts today on Mike Vrabel, his appearance on the Greg Hill Show today, which I thought was very interesting. If you missed it, Odyssey app and on YouTube. You got WEEI Afternoons coming your way at 2 o'clock. We'll get to our clip du jour, and right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Russians don't take a dump, son, without a grab bag.
Now,
Here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Bruins look to make it back-to-back wins tonight when the Bees host the Tampa Bay Lightning. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. The Bruins have announced that they have recalled Matthew Patra and Michael Callahan from Providence and placed Mark Castle and Charlie McAvoy on injured reserve and placed Hampus Lindholm on long-term IR. The Rams wrapped up wildcard round with last night's 27-9 win over the Vikings. The division round will begin on Saturday, and you can hear the call of all NFL playoff games right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. And the Celtics will return to action tomorrow night when the Seas will be in Toronto to play the Raptors. Being more healthy, eating better, losing weight, are you accomplishing your New Year's goal? It's 10 times easier with help. Do what Andy Hart, Rob Bradford, Chris Scheim, and over 23,000 others have done. Find your results at awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.